Today we'd like to see the title of vows in Numbers, chapters 30 and 31. To the souls on this online world through MP3 or YouTube channels on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number one, in chapter 30, verse 2, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 31, verse 17, now therefore kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question in chapter 31, verse 50. Therefore, we have brought an offering for the Lord. Whatever man founds of ornaments of gold, armlet and bracelet and signet rings and earrings and neck places to make atonement for our service before the Lord. What does it mean in the context and the what? How can we apply it to our lives? In the last time in Numbers chapter 29, 35, 40, basically talk about the Feast of the Tabernacle, you know, makeups, the offerings then. So this one is New Testament related to Jesus said, John chapter 7, 37, the Feast of Tabernacle, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Standing in the midst of the crowds gathered at the temple, he openly invited all who are spiritually thirsty to come to him and receive true satisfaction. This powerful invitation marked the climactic conclusion of the feast, which was celebrated in late September or October, and the tabernacle priest. So today, chapter 30 and 31, 30, then Moses spoke to the heads of tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. This is question one. A vow made to the Lord was an irrevocable promise. Whoever made a vow was required to fulfill it faithfully. Cross reference right here. In Old Testament times, people often made vows in response to God's mercy or in seeking his intervention. Cross reference right here. Jesus later taught his disciples not to make a careless or unnecessary oath, but simply to speak faithfully. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Matthew 5:33 up to 37, James 5:12. Cross reference. Throughout church history, traditions have sometimes exceeded the clear teaching of Scripture. Commitments based merely on human enthusiasm rather than God's leading and His word can become unscriptural church practices. Believers should approach God on the basis of His grace and love rather than attempting to gain His favor through self-imposed promises of our works. Cross reference right there. Verses 32:8. Or if a human makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father holds his peace, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement with which she has bound herself shall stand. But if the father overrules her on the day that he hears, Then none of her vows nor her agreement by which she had bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will release her because her father overruled her. If indeed she takes her husband while bound by her vows and by a rash utterance from her lips by which she bound herself, and her husband hears it and makes no response to her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband overrules her on the day that he hears it, he shall make void her vow, and she took and what she uttered with her lip, by which she bound herself, and the Lord will release her. Under Israel's Mosaic law, a father could annul the vow of his unmarried daughter if he objected upon hearing it. Likewise, a husband could annul his wife's vow. These provisions protected family members from the costly consequences of a careless or uncontrolled emotional vows, and preserved the God-ordained authority structure within the family. Verses 9 to 13. Also, any vow of a widow or divorced woman by which she has bound herself shall stand against her. If she vows in her husband's house or bounds herself by an agreement with an oath, and her husband heard it and made no response to her at the same day and did not overrule her, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband truly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatever proceeded from her lips concerning her vows and concerning the agreement binding her, it shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will listen every vow and every binding oath to afflict her soul. Her husband may confirm it, or her husband may make it void. A widow or divorced woman was fully responsible for fulfilling her vows because she was no longer under the authority of her husband. However, a husband had the authority either to confirm or to nullify his wife's vow if he remained silent when he first heard the vow. His silent continued approval make the vow binding. Verses 14 to 16. Now if her husband makes no response whatever to her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows of all the agreement that bind her. He confirms them because she made no response to her on the day that he heard them. But if he doesn't make them void after he has heard them, then he shall bear her guilt. There are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, and between a father, his daughter, in her youth, in her father's house. If a husband attempted to annul his wife's vow after previously allowing it to stand, he himself bore responsible for the consequences, whilst only on the same date should annul. These regulations emphasize the seriousness of vows, the importance of a responsible spiritual leadership within the home. Verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance of this Midianite for the children of Israel. Afterward you shall be gathered to your people. The Midianites were descendants of Abraham through Keturah, across from here. Their territory lay south and east of Kenya. Moses himself had previously lived among the Midianite and married Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, Midianite priest. Nevertheless, many Midianites later became enemies of Israel. Due to Balaam's counsel, they enticed Israel into idolatry and sexual immorality at Baal Peor, bringing God's judgment upon the nation. Cross reference here. Therefore, God commanded Israel to execute his judgment upon Midian. This would be Moses' final assignment before his death. Cross reference there. Deuteronomy 2:6. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Arm some of your servants for it, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all tribes of Israel you shall send it to the war." So they were recruited from the divisions of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to the war. 1,000 from each tribe he sent them to the war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, which is the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. 12,000 soldiers, 1,000 from each tribe, were selected for battle against Midian. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, accompanied the army carrying the holy articles and the battle trumpet. Phinehas had previously demonstrated zeal for God's holiness by stopping plague at Baal Peor and killed the adulterous people and Midian women as well. The cross reference here. The holy articles probably included the Urim and Thummim, through which God's guidance was sought. Cross reference there. 7-8. 7 questions 2. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the male. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed. Evi, Rechem, Jehur, and Reba, the 5 kings of Midian, Balaam, the son of Peor, they also killed with the sword. Israel defeated Midian as the Lord had commanded and killed the 5 Midianite kings. Balaam also died under God's judgment because of the evil counsel he had given to Balak and the Midianites leading Israel into sin. Revelation chapter 14, cross reference. Although Balaam knew God's truth, his greed ultimately led to his destruction. Cross reference there. 9-10. And the children of Israel took the women Midian captive, with their little ones, and took as spoil all their cattle, all their flocks, all their goods. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their fort. And they took all the spoil and all the booty of men and beasts. Then they brought to captivity the booty or spoils and the spoil to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, to the congregation of children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab, by the Jordan across from Jericho. 9-10, Israel captured the Midianite women, children, livestock, and possessions while destroying their cities and encampments. This decisive victory was an act of divine judgment against the people who had deliberately sought Israel's spiritual destruction. 13. And Moses, Eleazar, the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside of the camp. Now 13. 14. But Moses was angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over thousands. Officers and army with the captains of thousands of captains of hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, "Have you kept all the women alive? Look at these women, caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord, in the instant of peril, and there was a plague among the congress of the Lord. Moses became angry because the soldiers had spared the women who had previously enticed Israel into immorality and idolatry and Baal Peor. These women had been instrumental in leading Israel into sin due to Balaam's counsel. Moses therefore acted decisively to remove the source of spiritual corruption. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. This is a question. Believers likewise must deal seriously, prompted with sin. The Elias cross reference right there. Verses 18-20. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. And as for you, remain outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any person, whoever has touched any slain, purify yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day, on the 7th day. Purify every garment, every maid of leather, every woman of goat's hair, and every maid of wood. The destruction of Midianite males and women had known man was a part of God's judicial sentence against Midian's persistent wickedness. Although some aspects of God's judgment are difficult for us to fully understand, believers trust that God's judgments are always righteous and just. Because the soldiers had come into contact with the dead body, they become ceremonially unclean. Therefore, had to be undergo purification before re-entering the camp. Cross-reference there. 21-23. Then the preacher said to the men of Israel who had gone to the battle, "This is the ordinance of the Lord, which the Lord commanded Moses, only the gold, the silver, bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead. Everything that can endure fire, and you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water purification. And all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through the water, and you shall wash your clothes on the 7th day and be clean. After it, you may come into the camp." Eleazar instructed the soldiers concerning ceremonial purification. Objects capable of enduring fire were purified by fire and then cleansed with the water of purification, while items unable to withstand the fire were purified with water alone. This cleansing symbolized that whatsoever was dedicated to God to be purified before use. Likewise, God desires His people to be spiritually purified for His service. 2 Timothy chapter 20:21, he referenced, "But in great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, the latter he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, usable for the master, prepared every good work." 25-30, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, count up the plunder that was taken of man and beast, you and Elijah, the priest and the chief fathers of the congregation. And divide the plunder into two parts between those who took a part in the war who went out battle and all the congregation. And levy a tribute for Lord on the men of war who went out to the battle, one of every 500 of the Persians, the cattle and donkeys and sheep, and take it from their half and give it to Elijah, the priest, as a heave offering to the Lord. And from the children of Israel's half, you shall take one of every 50, drawn from the Persians, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep, from all the livestock, and give them to the Levites who keep charge of the tabernacle of the Lord." The supports of the war were divided equally between the soldiers who fought and the rest of the congregation. A portion from each share was then dedicated to the Lord. 1/500 from the salted portion for the priests, and 1/50 of portion from the congregation portion to the Levite. Everything ultimately belonged to God, you know, Psalm 24, verse 1. Therefore, believers should honor Him with their possession and the generosity share with others in need. The cross reference there, 31 and 47. Moses and Elijah, the priest, did as the Lord commanded Moses. The body remaining from the plunder, which the men of Reuben had taken, was 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, 32,000 persons in all of women who had not known a man intimately, and the half the portion for those who had gone out to the war was in number 337,500 sheep, and the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 675. The cattle were 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 72. The donkeys was 3,500, of which Lord's tribute was 61. The persons were 16,000, of which the tribute was 32 persons. So Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering to Elijah, the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And from children of Israel, the half, which Moses separated from the men, for now the half belonged to the congregation, was 337,500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 3,500 donkeys, and 16,000 persons. And from the children of Israel, the half, Moses took one of every 50 drawn from man and beast and gave them to the Levite, who kept the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, and the Lord commanded Moses. Moses and Elijah obeyed the Lord by carefully dividing the spoil according to God's instructions. The large number of virgin captives and the livestock demonstrate the magnitude of God's victory over Midian and the completeness of Israel's triumph under His sovereign hand. 48:50, question 3. Then the officers who were of a thousand of the army, the captains of thousand and captains of hundreds, kept near to Moses, and they said to Moses, "Your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command, and not a man of us is missing. Therefore we have brought an offering for the law, whatever man found of ornaments of gold, amulet and bracelet, and the signet rings and earrings and necklace to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord." After counting their troops, the officers discovered that not one Israelite soldier had been lost in battle, recognizing God's supernatural protection. They voluntarily presented an offering of gold to the Lord as an expression of thanksgiving and atonement. Believers, likewise, should readily thank God for His protection and deliverance during difficult times. An offering to God is a piece of evidence for a donor's heart. Here to thank, you know, cross-reference right there. 51 up to 54. So Moses and Elijah, the priest, received the gold from them, all the fashioned ornaments, and all the gold of offerings that they offered to the Lord, from the captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, with 16,750 shekels. One shekel is 2/5 ounce, or 11.34 grams. The man of war had taken spoil, every man for himself, and Moses and Elijah, the priests, received the gold from the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and brought it in tabernacle of a meeting as a memorial for the children of Israel, people of the Lord. Moses and Elijah received the offering of gold offering, placed it in tabernacle as a memorial for the Lord. The memorial testified to God's great victory over Midian and his faithful preservation of his people. So we covered all the questions. If you detail, you may check its QR code there. So here many missionaries ask us a prayer cast and keep on prayer. Also there is a spiritual poem too, so song as well. May God bless you, everybody.